afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. Hello, Gary Lucy.
Hi, Pat Francis. I'm Gary Lucy.
I'm Matt Belknap.
And we are here today, and today...
Special episode.
Yes, because Gary has brought someone to the show.
Yeah, a special guest, a kind of friend of the whole Never Not Funny family, and a hilarious comedy writer and bloggist and podcaster in her own right. And it's Christy Stratton. Man, Christy, welcome to Rock Solid.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. This is, I'm honestly living a dream.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, stop it.
I mean, and John Waite sat in this chair.
Yes, very he did.
I can't, my brain cannot process.
You're a fan?
I am a fan.
He was looking good. I don't want to say
was he?
Yeah. Man, yeah. That dude is attractive.
I pictured him as real super skinny, though. Was he?
He is very skinny.
He's skinny, but not super skinny anymore.
Okay.
He's kind of old manned out into like the right amount.
I mean, he's 61 years old. Yeah. And if you would have told me he was 52, I would have said, yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah.
He looks great.
Wow.
He's a ginger, so he's probably never in the sun. So his skin's good.
Does he throw any diva fits?
Not at all.
Nope. No.
No, he's really very nice. Cool.
Kept his sunglasses on, if that's a diva.
That's kind of a diva move.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But, well, maybe the prescription. Maybe.
It could be.
Could be.
Let me tell you about Christy. She wrote for many years on one of the greatest TV shows of all time, King of the Hill.
Yeah.
And among other shows. Did you write on Raising Hope? Or
I did. Raising I Hope did and, for the first season.
Anything else we should know about?
Well, I don't know if your listeners are teenage girls and watch MTV's Awkward.
Oh, that is awesome.
But that is what I'm writing for now.
That's a fantastic show. And tell us some about King of the Hill now. Mike Judge is a big music guy, right?
He is. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. We both, I was very intimidated by him at first because he's Mike Judge, but we happen to know a couple of people in common. And do you guys know who Doyle Bramhall is?
Oh, yeah. Why does that name sound familiar?
Okay. Well, the father, the elder, co-wrote songs with Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Right.
Okay.
And, the son, Doyle Bramhall II, was in the Archangels with Charlie Sexton.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
And so, and he went to my high school for a time, the younger, and, and so we both kind of knew them and his, I guess, common law stepbrother. I don't know what that relationship is, but his name is Chris. And so it was like, oh, I have this, I can actually talk to him about something. And when the staff one time went to Austin, we used to do that every summer. So we'd go and get stories. And I remember we went to this club, the Continental Club, I believe it's called, on Congress. And Mike was like, hey, look over there. And I look and it's Charlie Sexton at the bar. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't. So I just got to admire him from afar.
He's a handsome fella.
Right?
Like pouty lip.
And the hair. And
he's super skinny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My wife and I wrote a spec script for King of the Hill.
So did I.
Hands Across Arlen, where Bobby puts wants to put together a charity fundraiser to raise money so that they can get an overhead projector in the classroom because there's a deaf girl that can't hear everything.
Oh.
So,
I like that.
It was good. I used to love King of the Hill.
It was awesome. And and you're from Texas too, right?
Yes, I am from Fort Worth.
Nice.
Let's hear that accent.
You know, it sometimes will come out. When I was in college, I was a DJ at WRUF AM. That's University of Florida's AM station.
Okay.
I was too scared to try for the FM.
Aww.
And so I was the DJ and they were very like, oh, you should drop your accent. And I tried to, and it was interesting. I was thinking back about like it was an oldie station and we had carts that were kind of like 8 tracks. Uh-huh. And that's how like I went from song to song.
Awesome.
And it was like, you know.
Yeah, when I was in college radio, you were encouraged to you should have a serious voice.
That's
if you
right.
Want to be broadcasting. Yeah. Now it's not like
at
that.
At my
anymore.
College, I think the radio station could only be heard in the freshman dorm. That's pretty much the extent of it. So I didn't even bother.
And, I also wanted to ask you about, you had this great podcast called What You Talk About 80s.
It ran for about four episodes.
It was so funny, but four was kind of how it needed to be because you hit on, fashion, music, TV, and I forget what the other, maybe movies of the 80s. And it was great. You had a writer from Different Strokes on there.
Yep.
Penelope Lombard.
That's right.
Don't you wish that, we had been alive back then? Cause it seemed like comedy and TV seem so much easier.
The '80s,
then. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're alive, but like well, working in the biz, you know, it seemed like right. we could have.
Yeah, adults.
Seemed like we really could have crushed it.
Yes. Yeah. And there seems to, I mean, even though you can get away with a lot more standards wise now,
mm-hmm. yeah.
it seems to have been kind of a wide open frontier of subject matters to, you know, and characters and yeah. absolutely. I would have loved that.
Would Alf ever be made today is my question to
Never,
you.
Never, ever.
And this, which is a shame.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes. I think it'll be another 10 years before we see another puppet anywhere on television, quite frankly.
No, there's a show on Disney right now called Crash and Bernstein.
Crash and Bernstein is pretty good. Yeah.
And the one character is a puppet.
Steve.
Oh, huh.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Chip Chinnery, my friend Chip Chinnery, he plays the coach on there. He's,
oh, yeah.
And he says that their direction to him is always, Chip, can it be a little bigger?
Yeah.
And he says he will be like so big, and they'll go, yeah, can we amp it up a little bit more? He's like, oh my God, this yeah. is a totally different acting That's style hilarious. Than I am used
hey,
to.
Hey, Mr. Olivier, want to give us something here?
Like he said, he'll come through the door and go, come on, guys, come on, and they'll go, a little more.
Oh, did you, that's what I want to ask. Did you get to meet Tom Petty at any point during King of the Hill?
Oh. Yes, I did.
Oh my God.
Yes, I did. Okay. Well, he became a recurring character on King of the Hill, but
he was lucky, right?
Is that his name? Yeah. Yes. The first time he came, and he brought his wife and his stepson.
Okay.
And I debated like, what album do I bring?
Yes.
Which one? And yeah. they all had black covers or covers that were dark. And Hard Promises, that meant something to me. Like, that was one of the first rock albums I bought with my own money.
Yeah.
And I brought it. And
he lowered the price by $1 yes. so you could buy that too.
That's right. It's yeah. him standing in front of in a record store.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't going to do it because I'm really scared, y'all. Like, I'm afraid. But I noticed some other people in the staff, you know, having him sign sure. stuff, and he was super cool and he signed it. And, there was so then it became more regular that I would see him, and I wouldn't really interact with him, but it's very mm-hmm. interesting. The way we did it was the showrunner and the writer of whatever episode would be in the booth with the actors. And, I'll tell you, I know there was an episode, it wasn't mine, it was my friend's, and he kept saying baklava.
Oh boy.
Instead of baklava, like he right. didn't know. And of course it's like, you can give him a note, but right. nobody gives Tom, I mean, like, you can't. You yeah. just, so it right. went on the air as baklava, and which is kind of funny.
It's funny, yeah.
It's nice, like a Texas thing or something.
I have Damn the Torpedo signed.
You do?
Yeah.
That's
I caught him
one.
Outside the troubadour.
So you never asked him.
No, you did, didn't he? Signed your
album. Oh, he signed, yeah, yes, oh, he did. Okay, he did. Okay.
He did. Did he personalize it?
I didn't have
it?
Many notes, but, yeah, it says, Dear Christy, yes.
That's oh, great. Nice.
Yes.
And, the last thing I wanted to bring up is, you have, your great blog about,
thank you.
Kind of how you deal with hoarding,
4 or 5 people check it out every time I post something. It's like motherlikehoarder.com. I have a lot of mementos from, a life. Yeah. And I'm debating what, like, each entry is a story about that item. And then I kind of let people, should I keep this or not? And, you know, people vote and, or not. So a lot of people kind of read it and they're like, oh, this is so much pressure. I'm not going to vote. and that's okay too.
Now, aren't you just really stalling and getting rid of things? Is that what this is about?
No. Well,
what kind
yeah.
of things are you keeping that you don't want to get rid of?
Okay. My sweatshirt that I earned by going to national cheerleading competition yeah. in 1988,
keep
y'all.
Keep it.
No, get rid of that and get rid of that Hard Promises album.
You're bringing those over here.
What about a late night, plastic disposable drinking cup? Would you have something like that around?
Oh my gosh. I never, ever, ever will get rid of that.
All right. You shouldn't. That's a keeper.
So, let's hear a couple of phone calls and then we'll get into some music with, Christy. But first, it's time for phone calls. Boop.
Hi, guys. This is Steve from Omaha, Nebraska. And I love your show. Listen to it every week.
Thank you.
I'm calling with some new business. I'm 53 years old, love my classic rock, but I also love new songs. So this is a recommendation of an album that came out this week by a band called Bastille. They're from England, and their album is called Bad Blood. They have a breakout hit on the album called Pompeii that I think you should listen to. It's a terrific album. I don't know if I've ever, I don't know the last time I bought an album where I loved every song. It's well written, well performed, well produced. Highly recommend it. So I hope you give it a listen. all the best to Gary and Matt and Pat. Relax. Have a nice day. Life is too short.
All right. We'll hear a little bit of that nice. Bastille. Here's a Pompeii. Sounds like this.
Tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all?
Not too shabby. I like that. I like Pompeii. That sounds pretty good.
It's not what I expected from Steve after his description of himself.
Yeah,
and
really.
His musical taste. I thought it was going to be like kind of throwback rock almost, you know.
Yeah, it gets a little rocky in different parts. There's a lot of cool dynamics. But congratulations to him for still being out there looking for
very impressive.
The new sounds. So
that's
I like
that. My father-in-law loves Iconopop.
Oh, nice.
At least
he don't
that
care.
One song.
He loves
it. Yeah, he loves that one song. It's like his favorite song.
I have, I'm finding out I have two things in common with Christy.
Yes.
We're both women.
Yes.
And
we both like bandanas.
We have both. I played tennis before.
Mm-hmm. You could take it off.
No. We have both met Billy Squire.
Yes.
Yeah, he was very nice when I met him.
Yeah.
Super nice. And we were both at the Universal Amphitheater show of the new Cars.
Oh my God.
You see what's going on?
This is
I know.
We have kindred spirits here, folks.
Did you do the meet and greet?
I'm not a freak. No, I didn't, but I met them. They played the Canyon Club then 8 months later or so, and I went out there and I met them afterwards, and they were very nice.
Elliot Easton is, I mean, I'll get into it in a minute. But,
she's going to get into it, but let's one more call, and then we'll get into Christmas
Sorry.
Tunes.
Hey, guys. My name is Dan. I really enjoy you guys.
It's Dan.
Dan from Indiana. This is a poor quality connection. Phone. Yeah.
From Indiana.
Indiana.
This podcast. I just got done listening to Rockstarpedia Volume F, and that got me thinking about a band that you guys didn't mention called Steelheart. And one of the songs, I'll Never Let You Go, one of the lead singers really carried that high note, which got me to thinking that maybe that's an idea for an episode. Lead singers that can carry the note really high and really long. Keep up the good work, guys. Love what you do. Matt, Gary, keep up the work. Pat, you're all right.
So now that was Charlie Brown's history teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
That was ironic that his request for a topic was the singer who can carry a high note when his connection, it was like the opposite end yes. of the spectrum. I could barely understand you, Dan.
I know.
Now, how high can this guy's voice possibly be? I've got to hear this. Steelheart. Let's just see.
Let me cue it up to an especially high note. Okay. I happen to know that this song does that.
Operatic. Thanks, Dan.
Wow.
That escaped my notice the first time through. So
is that? That sounds like a Pat band. Is that something that you like on your radar?
No. That's too much for me. Seriously, it's too much even for me.
All right.
Sorry.
We got one last guy with trying to stir up some controversy.
Please use a landline.
Just landline, everyone. We love the calls, but landline.
Hey, guys. This is Matt from Pittsburgh. I love the show. I have not so much an idea for a show, but a question for you. I'd like to get your takes on it. What song is an established part of rock history that you think is absolutely terrible? I'm not just talking about like a a pop song that, you know, everyone likes that you don't like. But like, if there was a list of, you know, like one of those 500 Rolling Stone 500 greatest songs of the, you know, century, what song on that everyone agrees is great do you think is terrible? For me, Animals, House of the Rising Sun. Can't stand it. Anyway, love the show. Keep up the good work. And Pat, I don't know why everyone tells you to go fuck yourself. All
right. Thank you.
That's a thing we have there.
Everybody went the other way with it this
week. Yeah, we've requested it, and then people won't do it.
In our last episode, which hasn't aired yet, I don't think, we talked a little bit about how I had a Doors block for a long time. Now, everything's fine now. I love the Doors. Clapton, I never really got.
Yeah.
But, you know,
those poems and those Doors. Come on.
Yeah,
now, right?
Exactly. It's the combination of pretentiousness and then. There's not a lot of listenability either. It's like, you gotta give us one.
But he's talking about the canon of,
yeah.
I think I might have one. I don't know if it would be considered in the top 500 rock songs. Yeah. Do you have one?
Oh, no, I was differing.
Oh, okay. I would say Bad Company's, Feel Like Making Love.
Really?
What? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's a solid song.
Wrong. My karaoke jam for the longest time.
Come on, man.
For me, I don't.
We can't.
That's a weird one to take issue with. Because it's not like you have to confront it that often.
Feel like making love. It's like, it just feels weird to me.
Ah, I like that guitar.
And then he gets specific with it.
Yeah.
Feel like making love to you. To you.
Yeah.
So yeah, kind of sweet too during the verse. And then it's like, I'm just going to come out and say it.
It's a great quiet, loud, quiet formula.
I've tried it on many first dates. Yeah. I said, let's go to karaoke. And then I sing that to them. And then that doesn't work.
How about you, Christy?
I'll tell you, it's U2's One.
What?
Oh, man.
I don't get it. I don't get it on a melody level. I don't get it on a lyric level. Oh. I mean, that's like one of the greatest songs of all time. And I just I don't get it.
I wish I could like give you my feeling for it, because like that song is so big for me in my life.
And for many people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like they're like maybe a couple's been arguing all night or something like that. And this is like his last, you know, hurrah or something.
Yeah.
And then finally the husband says, feel like making love.
The buffalo in the video. That's not going to, if you don't like the song, that's not going
to
do it.
Meant as something more profound, mm-hmm. because weren't they trying to associate it with like
the plate
AIDS
of the,
or something? I guess if it wasn't touted as such, I might enjoy it on kind of a quiet level, but mm-hmm.
I feel like that album came out and Mysterious Ways was the first single and I just heard that song without any context. And I think that really, it just grabbed me as a great ballad kind of, but,
Or how about on Ben Stiller's show when they did the Lucky Clovers commercial? It was like a one bowl. It was really good. He does a good Bono.
He does a good Bono.
Yes.
But,
sounds like Christy doesn't like people.
No.
Is it a guy thing? I don't know. Sentiment of it is very, like, I think maybe it's a male perspective on a relationship, gone south or something.
Maybe I'll give it another listen.
Oh, I don't know.
And fall asleep. But no.
Think about love.
But Matt, that's a great question. I felt the same way about House of the Rising Sun until recently when on the other great music podcast, Sound Opinions, one of the hosts, Greg Cott, told a story about, how that was like, you know, how that song blew his mind when he first heard it on the radio when he was a little kid. So just thinking about young, nerdy Greg Cott, there's a house in New Orleans, you know, that, can you believe that? What is it? Is it a prison? Is it a thing? And so listen to Sound Opinions, but, which brings us to our next topic here. And, they do this other thing on this other great podcast called the Guest DJ Project on KCRW.
Okay.
Where they bring in celebrities. It might be a sitcom person or an architect or a chef or something. And they ask them to play, five songs that have inspired them over the years. And I thought since we have, such a big music fan, Christy here, who's such an accomplished artist, it would be fun to hear, some of her KCRW set that, she would play. So,
I'm excited to share them with you.
What's your first song?
Okay. First song, I do this in chronological order. Okay. I can't speak. Okay. So the first kind of rock album that got my attention. Now, as a kid, I had all my Donna Summer, my Olivia Newton-John records, and I even had a Supertramp, Breakfast in America. I think that's kind of the gateway into rock album in 1980 or whenever that was. And I went to visit my cousins, Donna and Debbie, who were older than me.
Twins?
No. And they lived in Harriman, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And I was just there and kind of, and Debbie had a really cool record collection. She had Bachman Turner Overdrive, which I recognized. My mother had that. And, she had this record from a band called The Cars.
Ooh.
And mind you, this is, I think in 81 when I discovered it. So that album came out in what, 78?
Yeah.
And I didn't really, I'm like, who is this woman? What is this happening on the back? Was there an accident? And I would sit in a chair and she had these giant speakers. And I put the record on and it was so compelling to me, and I would listen to it holding these two huge speakers. And the reason I especially loved this particular song that is going to be played, I love that it just as an 11-year-old, and you feel like, you know, I don't know. I don't know that I felt lost or I felt whatever, but there's an emptiness. There is a urgency. There are things in this song in particular that I think were outstanding then and I think still hold up today.
Let's hear it.
On the light, and some things that I say to her just don't seem to bite. It's all mixed up, it's all mixed up, it's all mixed up. Tricks me into thinking I can't believe my eyes. I wait for her forever, but she never does arrive. It's all mixed up, it's all mixed up, it's all mixed up.
What a great choice.
I mean, that voice. Can you believe that band is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I would pretend that if that was the only album they had, they'd be in by now.
That could be.
Rock in Peace, Benjamin Orr.
Yes. Oh. For sure.
I played the Cars on our very first episode, which was about debut albums, and that was one of the best debut
albums
just, for me.
And what's so wonderful is back then, it was a choice. What song opens the side one, mm-hmm. closes side one, opens side two, closes the
right.
album. And this song closed the album.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes out on this, she said to leave it to me, everything will be all right. Everything will be like, it kind of this, and then it drifts and there's this like saxophone solo and then it just kind of fades out and you're just left there. Like, what am I to do now after that? Like that is, it just, they drop the mic, right?
Awesome.
Right.
Awesome. Oh, I love your passion. This is great. This is going to be a great show.
And by the way, so that was like around 81.
Sure.
I hadn't yet started my period. Like I wasn't a woman yet. And I was like, but there's something out there that is really okay. Yeah. So I in middle school was tough in the 80s, in the early 80s. And back then they didn't call girls mean girls. Like people were just mean to you and you're like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
This is what middle school is. People are just going to call me a scum in the bathroom and that's going to be okay. And I made friends with these two sisters, Shay and Michelle, and they were super cool. Michelle had a synthesizer.
Oh, nice.
They introduced me to like, Adam and the Ants, and they, I went to visit them in Austin and they, at the a lake house that they shared, and they had Erg Music War.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know. If you, okay. Oh,
wow.
You're not. Oh, well, it's
no, no, no. I remember seeing it, but
I'm like,
I'm not sure what it is.
Right?
Concert movie. Yeah.
And it's like, who are these people? Like, okay, the Police. I know who they are,
yeah.
but like the Cramps and Klaus
yeah.
Nomi.
Yeah.
Like, what's going
oh, Klaus
on
Nomi.
Here? And it was right. a real. So they introduced me to this. The first Pretenders album.
Oh, yeah. that album will give you your period.
Yes. Well,
yeah.
And what I loved about her voice and this song in particular, it was just, and it contained something that no other song I had listened to up to this point contained.
Yeah.
And, it was empowering and strong. And it's like, you know, screw all you people. I'm precious, which is not really me because I didn't believe that. But I love how the song like forced me to, when I'm singing it, sing that I was precious.
Are you going to burn your bra on today's show?
Maybe.
Bring it, man.
thought you crossed the street, cause you're
precious.
Moving through the Cleveland heat, how precious. And taking nights and all the kicks are so precious. You know how to shit in bricks, cause I ain't
precious.
Make me wanna. Make me wanna. Make me make it on some knee. He skipped the fifth and Euclid Avenue. Was real precious. Hotel still ain't coming into view. How precious. It's a pity that she bruised my hip, cause I'm precious. You shouldn't let your manners slip your teeth. Precious.
So cool.
So strong. And like, she's like, do it on the pavement and all of these things. It's like, wow, this gal is
Christy?
Ballsy.
Just, yeah.
I played. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, she just like out of nowhere showed up fully formed.
Yep.
Sui generis or whatever, like her own thing, never been before or since. Incredible.
And
yes.
I played this on our first show. one of the best debut albums. Yeah. The Pretenders. Yeah. And she is my favorite female lead vocalist, Chrissy Hynde.
For sure.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Nice.
It is funny to think about, like, when you're a kid, the first time you hear a swear word in a song,
it is
like blows your mind because you're like, I did not know that was allowed or like, what? No, this is a mistake. Someone made it. Like, it's really exciting and crazy.
And with Midnight Rendezvous, you remember it's at the end, it's at the fade out. So that doesn't really count because it's like, am I hearing it? Yeah. Is that what's
all
happening?
I really wanna do
but
is...
she says, fuck off.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Yep.
Yes.
And shit great. A brick.
Yes. Don't let me forget about shit a brick too. Okay.
So where are we now in your
girlhood? I'm getting a little older, and I don't know if you guys will know Gary Myrick.
Sure. Oh. Play with John Waite.
Talking
No Brain. Yeah.
Okay.
No
well,
Brakes
this,
album.
This story has an A and a B part to it. Okay. So part A is this. When Language, the EP came out, that was big in Texas because he's from Texas. And I think that it was Guitar Talk, Love and Drums. Yep. I remember that. And Glamorous. Like, he had three songs that I could sing, and I got the cassette. And I mean, I played that thing until that oxidized, you know, like it was oxidized, but you couldn't get it on any other form in the later years. But anywho, I can very specifically, I don't think it was the first time I heard it, but I can specifically remember being out, on a lake in Fort Worth with my friend and in her dad's boat, the sun going down and this playing on the radio. And I remember in that moment thinking, I want, this song played at my wedding. Well, so go ahead and play a little bit of it.
Oh, that's exciting.
You stand by me in my hands. You're the beautiful, the grand. Colorful girls in different dresses. On the waterfront, so expensive. Standing in the cold and shiver. With a message to deliver.
Played that on the radio in Texas?
They did.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess it was a regional hit.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, we talk about that here.
And it was just so, like, I had such a connection with this song, with that whole EP. So years later, I want to say it was around 2000, I found the record on eBay. Like, eBay was awesome. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get this record. And I remember listening to it. And I, you know, I was very casually dating a guy at the time. And I'm like, I want this played at our wedding, whatever. I love this record. I love this song, whatever. So years after that, I get an email from J. Keith Van Stratton.
Sure.
Okay. He had a show that he did at the Acme Comedy Theater. Right. It was kind of a variety show. And it would say his different guests that were on the show. And the musical guest that particular week was Gary Myrick. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, and I emailed back, the Gary Myrick? And he's like, yeah, you know who this is. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. So I go to the show and he's great. But I was too just afraid to meet him. And so I contacted him through his website and I went to another one of his shows and he had a new record out at the time. Waltz of the Scarecrow King, Dance of the Scarecrow. Anyway. And so I don't remember what the net, like where there were emails exchanged. Anyway, I ended up dating him.
What?
Very short time. It was very short. Nothing.
Wow.
What year was this?
Early 2000s?
Yes.
Wow.
But it was, again, it wasn't anything serious, but I...
That's crazy.
I just remember, so we had a dinner, and then we had the next time we met, we had drinks, and he ordered a glass of white Zinfandel, y'all.
Oh.
And a little piece of me...
died.
A little piece of me died. Wow. But he was lovely, and then I remember one time, we have there's a friend of a friend who used to go out with him, and he said, yeah, you know, can you believe she broke up with me because I didn't have health insurance? And I'm like, huh. And then I'm like, well, I don't know.
Man.
But it was, I was living a dream for a little bit, yeah. Very short time, nothing. Wonderful.
Did you ever tell him you wanted that song played at your wedding?
You know, I told him how much I loved Language. And he knew I was a fan. I mean, he knew. And at one point, the waitress wasn't coming back to us quick enough. And I'm like, doesn't she know who you are? Because really, like, he meant so much to me. I don't mean to kind of belittle who he is, because this record was everything to me a kid. And he was a lovely, very nice. It's just interesting that I actually in my lifetime have had the chance to, you know,
a lot of people dream it. You made it happen.
And Language is available on iTunes. And Gary Myrick also plays guitar on the John Waite song Missing You.
That's right.
Him on guitar.
And oh, one more thing. That song, he says colorful girls in different dresses on the waterfront, so expensive. And I'm like, oh, you have to tell me, what are the colorful girls? Like, what is that? And he's like, nah, I don't know. And I'm like, what?
It's best not to know sometimes. And he's immortal for She Talks in Stereo.
Yes.
Valley Girls.
I just love that song. Yes. Okay, so this next song, I've got a really, it's very meaningful to me. Don't make fun, because it's awesome. Yeah. Throughout my young adulthood into my 20s, it wasn't like guys were, I don't know, asking me out. I didn't have a lot.
Find it hard to believe.
And then
I was just going
to
say that, Gary. That's when Heidi Klum says, I was just kind of a plain Jane in high school.
But it just, there were other girls that were, you know, whatever in high school. And then
sluttier. And then slutty girls. Right.
I was never given the chance to be slutty. I'll be really honest.
You were open to it.
I was game.
Okay.
And so then in my 20s, it was so, it's such an interesting time because, like, I could get some dates, but then it would be like, it would just be done. Like, they were not, there was interest, and you think, oh, I just had this amazing date with Gary Myrick. Why isn't he calling? He's lovely. But I just mean, like, I had a lot of that where I had great dates or I dated people and it was going great. And then all of a sudden it was gone. And, so the first time I heard this song, I was driving down the street. I can clearly remember it. I am like, oh my gosh, what am I listening to? What am I hearing? This nothing has ever I've connected to in such a way. I pulled over because I knew I'd never remember the name Alanis Morissette. Right, yeah.
This will give guys their period.
Yeah. I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best for you both.
She doesn't mean it.
I know the version of me. Is she perverted like me? Would she go down on you in a theater?
Whoa!
Does she
As if she would have snuck into the theater where the guy's on his new date and poured some slime on him. That's awesome.
I don't know.
I don't know. Do we? We've been trying to get her as a guest. Right?
Yes, I have been.
That might happen.
I am. It can happen.
It can happen. So we're trying.
We're moving into the 90s.
Yeah,
yeah, we're moving into the 90s, buddy.
Something's got to give. I'm going to lose it when those 90s guests start coming out.
I know.
It's my wheelhouse.
I mean, that whole album was excellent, but it's that great song. Like, what do you guys? What did when that song came out? What did guys think of that?
Oh, I remember specifically thinking, like, there was three times in life where I like totally called the shot wrong. When I heard about there was a movie going to be called E.T. When I heard Cosby was having a new sitcom coming out.
And then
when I heard this, when I was on a trip to L.A. when I first heard this in the 90s, I'm like, no one's going to like that. You know, like I heard like the debut on K-Rock or whatever, like, no one's ever, it's too sassy. No one's going to like that. And I was right. Time bore me out. No, it was. Yeah. So no, I think she's wonderful. And I especially wish I want a moratorium on people. I still blame, you know, that's not really ironic what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right.
Enough of that.
Right.
Enough of that.
It was the ultimate irony that she made a song called Ironic that wasn't actually ironic. But exactly. What's so funny about that song is that it set you up for this, like, angry, like, riot girl or something. And then she's not really like that. Like, the rest of her songs are kind of more introspective and calm, I would say. I mean, I love that album. But yeah, this one, I think it was like a bit, I remember I was probably 20 when it came out or something. And it was like a bit much. And I was just like, wow. But it was huge. It was everywhere.
I connected with it, and like someone is actually saying the things that I felt.
Yeah.
Anyway,
music has the power to do that like no other thing, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Speak for you.
Well, so my last one I'm going to get to. Mm-hmm. I came late to this party. Mm-hmm. The Liz Phair party. I got my first writing job. And when was this? It was like 2000. And
what show was that?
Well, you know what? I don't want to say because I'm going to kind of defame someone that I'm also not going to mention. Well, anyway, it was a rough time.
Yeah.
And I had a boss that I honestly like am physically afraid of still.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I didn't know what I was doing in any way. So I don't want to say like was perfect and I was treated, you know, horribly. I just mean that there were mind games played. I'm going to just touch on one little thing. After I was fired the last week of we'd already finished writing. I was fired the last week because I took a meeting. I was going to go pitch something else. And my computer was gone by the time I got back. It was very dramatic. Wow. He called my agent and my manager and they both fired me. Then they proceeded, he and a friend of his, to sabotage my transactions on eBay.
What?
I was trying to sell things and actually I'd bought AC/DC tickets and I was trying to sell my shittier ones. And like they'd pose as someone trying to buy it. And of course, there's the time
Holy
was,
shit.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. So it was my first job. I got fired from it. I'm weirded out. A friend of mine had got Exile in Guyville and I brought that with me to Texas for Christmas. And again, I am at my lowest. And you know, all my friends are all married and they're all working and they're all doing stuff. And I just turned 30 and I was like, what am I going to? And so this whole album, but especially this song and its lyrics very much, brought me back to life.
Awesome. Let's hear it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. standing 6 feet one instead of 5 feet two. And I love my life, and I hate you.
Nice.
I mean, I'm literally welling up now just thinking of that.
It makes me furious that you were bullied like that. Obviously, there's something wrong with these guys. I mean, I can't imagine what you would have. Anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll have to tell us this.
Yeah, I will.
Let me just add one more time. Yeah. Gary played this on our first show.
Yes.
As one of his top debut albums of all time.
Yes, totally. I liked awesome. That it was.
Did
like,
you only listen to our first show and then pick all your songs from that?
That's so funny. I did not listen to the first show. That's funny.
Oh, so you don't listen to our show?
I do.
Okay.
No.
Well,
remember when you guys picked Give the People What They Want, the Kinks record? Yes. It was something, I can't remember what the subject was.
I forget
was
what
that.
The subject was also, but thank you. Hey, everybody. We hope you're enjoying the episode with Christy Stratton. We had such a good time with her that we're actually going to split this episode into two parts. Coming up next, Gary is going to act as game show host, and Christy and I are going to face off in a little round of Rock and Roll Jeopardy. So we'll see you next week. Thanks.
Success music and what's it to you? My lawyer always says these are the facts about the future. Well, tomorrow's just a song.